Good evening. Be'ezus Hashem, the goal tonight, if there's a little recap, is to deal with halacha l'maisa. Now the halacha l'maisa is obviously going to be very broad, because it's as broad as life and as broad as the audience. And we have people with all different points in life, with all different levels of responsibility. Mothers of young children, mothers of not so young children, grandparents, people that are working, people that are retired. And the halacha fits for everyone, but you have to know what the right fit is. I tell people all the time in many things in life, you go into the shoe store, there are thousands of pairs of shoes, and they're all from solid makers, they're all well made. But I have a right to you if you get the pair that's the wrong size. You know. Talked about tefillah as a connection. That's the essence of tefillah, is the connection with the Rabbeinu Shalom. Everything else that we do is to foster that connection, to create that connection. But the essence of tefillah is the connection. I once asked Rabbi Yosha, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that on the plane, is it preferable to sit or preferable to stand by Shemon Esrei? We always stand by Shemon Esrei. What's preferable on the plane? And they give a very wise answer. A very wise answer. He said, whichever way you'll have more kavona, that's how you should have it on the plane. If you're comfortable standing, you know, there's no turbulence and you're comfortable, stand, obviously. If you're not, and you'll daven with more kavana sitting, so sit. The essence of tefillah is the connection with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. That the obvious tefillah is a chelik of the Torah. It was augmented after the churban of the Beis Hamikdash, that it also takes the place of the karbonos. But tefillah obvious tiknum. Tefillah is as old as the Torah itself. It is the very essence of our connection with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that we can cry out to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we can appeal to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is present. He's interested in listening to us. So on the tour, that at the highest level, tefillah is an abstract consciousness between ourselves and l'havdil the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And the entire physical world fades away. He compares it almost to the state of Nevuah, where other than Moshe Rabbeinu, a Navi was totally devoid and detached from this world, in an exalted state of connection with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And that's the essence of tefillah, is how much we're connected with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. It would be nice if at every moment in tefillah we would experience that connection. But if we experience that connection somewheres in the tefillah, somewheres, we're doing great. I felt the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's presence today. I've walked together with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. There were times in life that people feel viscerally the connection with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. I sat once with an Adam Godel, Rav Avram Trop, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and he described his experiences in the years of his wanderings during the Holocaust, from Radin to Siberia, Samarkand. And he said, at every step, I felt that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam held me by the hand and led me. In tefillah, we have the connection with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And that's what gives us the ability to deal with all of life. If I know I'm walking with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is with me, I'm undaunted. Nothing phases me. And if it does phase me, it phases me a little bit less than it would have otherwise. The Emois Rivka we find, right, she wanted a child. The Torah tells us she stood in tefillah. Tefillah And particularly the women have a special capacity to put tefillah, as we noted from Chulda Hanavi and the Gemara. The question is how practically to achieve that. That's the question. And I think the essence of the answer to that question is we need to understand our priorities. And there's a famous statement of the Poskim, which is particularly apropos in this setting. And that is that the Chronim tell us the Toiv Ma'at Im Kavona, better that we should have in a very small amount, but it should be with focus, that to daven a lot and a lot without focus. And that's really the essence of what I come to speak about tonight. Now, we talked about a lot of different things, which are obligations, the brachas. I told you I would surprise you with the karbonas, that no one ever heard it. And one of my listeners was kind enough to go and make sure that even the girls' schools today, it wasn't that the girls' schools once upon a time were deficient, you know, way back when, but this the absence of this halacha is still reflected in contemporary times. But this, what I mentioned to you about the karbonas, is found in the Mishnah Berurah, it's found in the Aruch HaShulchan, it's found in the Mogen Avraham. It's classical achronim. This is not coming from, you know, some far-fetched source. Someone wanted me to clarify just the two paragraphs that are essential from the two very short paragraphs. One is about 8 psukim long, and one's approximately 4 or 5 psukim. You have, after lo'ilam yehayadim, after that, you should have on the top of the page in one of the art scrolls, sedurim yavayidavar Hashem ha'moshe alim utzavis b'nei yisrov v'martor le'yem as korban ilach mi le'ishai. That's the Kriyas HaTorah, in fact, of Rosh Chodesh. We read it this morning in the Beis HaKnesses. And if you turn about one page further, you have a parsha, Vayomer Hashem HaMosha, Kach Lecho Samim, Not of Shcheles V'chelben, O Samim, L'Zan O'Gvon, O'Zak, Bad, 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 Yiyah. What?
Sorry.
What?
It's got a little too fast.
Vayomer Hashem HaMosha, Kach Lecho Samim.
So you don't have to say, do you have to say that you
want something? No! Just those two, that's all. Yes. Vayidabar Hashem HaMosha L'tzavis B'nei Yisroel V'amarto Lehem As Korboni Lachmi L'Yishai. There's 8 psukim there. It's Parshas Tomid. We read it every Rosh Chodesh in the Beis HaKnesses, and we read it here this morning. And then about a page later, you have Vayomer Hashem HaMosha Kach Lecho Samim. You have about 4 psukim approximately, 4 or 5. Well, it's about 4 or 5 psukim. What? But a Talmud ends me sovim, and then you have on the next page you should have kach lecho samim, which is about 4 or 5 psukim. Sovim. Sabes b'nei Yisroel v'amarto lehem as korboni lachmi l'ishai reyach nichoichi. Yep. Listen, everything I told, everything in the Siddur has a place. I told you, our purpose here is not to be maximalists. You know, if you're maximalists, I could tell you more things to do. There's a lot of tefillahs to say. You know, there are those people that say 10 mizmorim of tilim every day, so they finish twice a month. You know, it's a beautiful thing. I wish I had time to do it. You know. Listen, we need to be real. The problem is we get ourselves in trouble. As I described to you last week, maximally, what all the things that a woman could possibly be mechuyavin. It's a pretty big list. But most of us, it doesn't play out. Because if we try to do that, one of two things will happen. Either we'll give up and we won't daven at all, or we'll daven in such fashion. I think I mentioned to you, did I mention to you that I got a call from someone a few weeks back, and it's a person that suffers a lot from depression and, you know, doesn't have a happy life. And I said to them, you know, you got up this morning and you said, thank you, Hashem, for giving me life. So they said, where did I say such a thing? I said, you said Moed Ani this morning. She said, I said Moed Ani because there's a din in the Shulchan Aruch. You have to say Moed Ani. I said, if that's why you said Moed Ani, better off you shouldn't have said it. We need, I'm not discouraging people from saying, that wasn't my point. My point is, when we say a tefillah, it has to be with passion. An understanding of what we're saying before the Rabbeinu Shalom. We're not just mouthing words. It's not because the Rabbeinu Shalom put us under the gun that I'm talking to him. I want to talk to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Right? I don't know if, did I mention to you about Revolva? With Mincha? No? I didn't tell you. I talk in different places about tefillah. Revolva was a mashgiach, a very famous mashgiach in yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. And in one yeshiva in which he was in, I believe in Yeshivas HaNegev, he didn't daven mincha in the yeshiva. The Rosh was bugging him to daven mincha in yeshiva. He wanted mashgiach to set a good example for the boys to daven mincha in yeshiva. And no matter what he did, Rav Olbo was immovable. That's it. He wasn't going to daven mincha in yeshiva. So finally, out of frustration, the Rosh says to him, what in the world is the problem with davening mincha in yeshiva that you're so obstinate you don't want to daven in yeshiva? He says, I'll tell the Rosh Hashanah, it's very simple. It says, in the winter time, the second Seder in Yeshiva ends, it's dark outside. So we daven mincha before the second Seder. So I daven mincha in Yeshiva that half of the year. The second half of the year, from Pesach and on, the second Seder finishes before the sun sets. So mincha in Yeshiva is after the second Seder. He says, now I have a problem, he said. I daven shachris at 7 o'clock in the morning. I cannot wait another 12 hours to speak to the Rabbeinu Shalom again. It's just not happening. So that's it. So if you daven at 7 o'clock in the evening, I'm going to daven at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but I'm not davening at 7 o'clock at night. The opportunity to speak to the Rabbeinu Shalom. If we ask ourselves how meaningful it is for us, Daige Belev Ish Yasichenu L'Acher. You know, we read in Tanakh. If something disturbs our tranquility, the best way to deal with it is to speak about it with someone else, to get it off our heart. Now, what happens if I can get things off my heart and speak to the Rabbeinu Shalom? What's the comfort level of that? That Avinu Shabashamayim is listening to me. He takes note of what I want and will assist me within what's appropriate. Awesome. And each one of us can emulate the Emois in that regard in our own way, to touch the Rabbeinu Shalom a little bit each day. And when we walk with the Rabbeinu Shalom, it's a different world. The entire world looks different. So let's first be practical, and then we'll be a little less practical. But first, let's be practical. You know, principally, as I said, the ideal I described last time. Halacha l'maisa, let's start with this. You know, the Birchas HaShachar, what will that take a person? 5 minutes or so to say in the morning? So we have a quiet 5 minutes. And that could come at all different times. In fact, it's generally agreed in the Achronim that after Chatzos Laila, anytime you get up, after the midpoint of the night, more than halfway through the night, that you can recite all the Birchas HaShachar. So no matter how early you get up in the morning, you're able to wash your hands and make all the brachas. That's not an asik of more than 5 minutes. Yeah, there are Balei Musa that could spend a half an hour doing it. You know, there is a statement, the Mogen Avraham quoting, I believe, the Marimints or the Maramints, talks about what was the normative time. Okay, he lived in the 17th century. He had an interesting shul, obviously, the Magen Avraham. He says, what was the normative time for the recitation of Psukei Dezimra from Baruch Sha'omar on a weekday until Yishtabach? How long did it take? 10 minutes, 12 minutes, 13 minutes, how long did it take? The Magen Avraham writes, the normative time was a half an hour. Just for that part of the hour. But as I said, we're not, that's, you know, it's open-ended. But the question is, practically we need 5 minutes, five quiet minutes. Now, on the other end of the davening, we really have two or two and a half things that we should be sure to do every day. And that is, we have to recite at least the Pasuk of Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem. Preferably at least the first parasha of Kriyat Shema. That's a preference. And anything more in Kriyat Shema is also preferable and not mandatory. And if we really have, and Shmon Esrei, that's the essence of what we should be doing. If we really have the time, we have another 2 minutes, a minute and a half, so we should say the Baruch of Emes V'Yatzev and Tugal Yisrael. That's a very, very good thing to do. But that's, now, if we make a simple cheshbon, the first part, the Baruch should take about 5 minutes, not more than that. Shmon Esrei could take 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes, a couple of psukim and Shema and Emes V'Yatzev, 10 minutes. So, now, and I'm talking to be practical. We're busy, I don't have time, I have to get up in the morning, I'm racing, I don't know when I catch my breath, I'm lucky if I taste a cup of coffee before midday, I'm so busy, I'm on the run. I understand. We live in a very, very busy world. But if we keep ourselves at the minimum, and it fits, it should fit, then we can do it well. I don't have to be in a rush. I don't have to feel crazy pressure. I could do the brachas now. 2 hours later, I'll do Shema on that part in Shmon Esrei. When I have, you know, 5 quiet minutes. 10 quiet minutes. The biggest problem that we have is we're trying to be idealists. Right? I told you last time, we could say the brachas, and we could say the karbonas, and we could say Psukei Dezimra, and Brachas Kriyat Shema. There's a lot of nice things to say. So there's a beautiful thing. But we can have to daven in a manner which is consistent with the time that we have. That's Aleph. And far better that we should say less, but be focused and truly connect with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, than be rushing like a nut and not have time to think about anything, only to think about when I'm going to finish. You know, we need to be real. We need to be real. That's one of the problems. When we're not real, when we're not very blunt and deadly honest with ourselves, we get ourselves in trouble. Overreach is never good. And this, we don't stress enough in the chinuch of today. Among the Balei Musar, talking in the first half of the 20th century until the Second World War, the giants of Musar, this was a major, major concern. And everything is not to be guilty of overreach. To stay within, yeah, push the envelope, but within what's within our grasp. And have a very firm understanding of what's beyond our grasp and not to go there. Yeah, maybe 20 years from now it will be within my grasp. I worry about it. Now, I'll tell you a very strange thing. I got married. My Shverzer Lezayin Gesund is a mirror. Talmud of Chatzko Levenstein, Zeichet Tzadik Levrocha. And, you know, Yom Kippur, I don't know if I ever davened with my Shver, because I davened in Yeshiva, and my Shver davened in the Mirror Minyan. But Pesach, I spent many times Pesach with my Shver, many, many times. A strange thing. My Shver didn't own a kittel. Imagine. Didn't own a kittel. My Shver did not own a kittel until about 20 years ago. The first time that he came to Eretz Yisrael for Yom HaNeror. So one of my brothers-in-law found out that the minig in Mir Yeshiva Yerushalayim is to wear a kittel. So he ran in Aseres and made sure to buy him a kittel. The minig in Mir in Europe, and I'll come to why it was that way, was not to wear a kittel at all, ever. Maybe the Shliach Tzibah wore a kittel, but other than that, the kippah say that nobody wore a kittel. Didn't exist. So my brother-in-law went, and he got my father the first time in his life about 20 years ago. He owned a kittel, which is a very good thing. He came to Yeshiva, Yom Kippur, and Rabbeinu Zatzal, the Rosh Yeshiva, was b'chaber him with the Aliyah of Koyin. So it would have been pretty strange marching that down in a suit from the Aliyah, Bifnei HaVeida, and he'd be the only one in town without a kittel. Now, why didn't they have a kittel? That's what's instructive. Because the Bali Musar and the Mir Yeshiva were dealing in the beginning of the 20th century. The Bali Musar were deadly honest people. And they anything which was not halachically obligatory, so they asked themselves a blunt question, am I up to what this signifies or not? And they felt that they were not, that the kittel would be nothing more than a costume. Costumes they don't wear. If it inspired them in the service of the Rabbeinu Shalom, that's what it was made for. If they were ready for that, they'd put it on. But they felt in their point, in Avodas Hashem, it would not have been more than a costume. Costumes they don't wear. They don't go to costume parties. And that's it. The great Mir Yeshiva, what I learned around the clock of the greatest yeshivas in Europe, but a kittel was unheard of, because the Bali Mutzah were deadly honest with themselves, deadly demanding. To know what madrega, what level we're at. You know, when we overreach, is not only, it's pointless, it's counterproductive, because it sets us back. We're busy doing things we're not supposed to be doing, instead of being busy doing the things we're supposed to be doing. So this is Aleph. Aleph is, we need to make tefillah accessible to ourselves, doable. I mentioned to you last time that the Chazon Ish Zecher Tzadik Livracha wrote, and he made a very big inyan about tefillah for women, and the Stipler Zecher Tzadik Livracha made a phenomenal inyan about tefillah for women in his writings. Phenomenal. How significant it was to him, women's tefillah. And I mentioned to you, the Chazon Ish wrote that we need to clap al chait on Yom Kippur when we're guilty of such overreach that it undermines our ability to do the mitzvah properly. Yeah, there's a halacha, there's a Shulchan Aruch. And it's, we have to live within the bounds of the Shulchan Aruch and with what the Shulchan Aruch demands of me. It may demand different things of different people, yeah. I'm a young mother and I have five little pitzalach kids in the house and I have a job. And all of that has to take place in the morning. I got to get up at the crack of dawn and get them out and get to work someplace. Yeah. That's one thing, you know. I'm a retired grandmother. Different point in life, you know. I don't have, what do I have to wake up in the morning and make myself a cup of coffee, and that's it, and then it's quiet. So if I want to take 3/4 of an hour to daven, so be it. It's, you know, magiyali at this point. I earned it, you know. I did all the other things until now in life that I was supposed to do, so. But we have to know where it fits, where the shoe fits. So this is Aleph. You know, if anyone comes and tells me they don't have time to daven, so this is my answer to them. In 15 minutes maximum, divided in two parts, you could daven appropriately every morning. Shmoneh Esrei in the afternoon, another 5 minutes. Some point. You have coffee breaks sometime. You know, we don't live in a slave driving society. We're not in the pre-industrial society where people, you know, had to work nonstop. You know, we do have breaks. So we use 5 minutes of one of those breaks to daven mincha. And we can find places to daven. I took someone to North Shore Hospital about a month ago, to the emergency room. I got there, I picked them up at 11:30 in the morning. I got there, it was about 12:45. I was with them there till 8 o'clock at night. So, and I couldn't go out. So I had a daven mincha there. So I looked for a quiet place. I found a quiet place in a little hallway off the emergency room. And as I started to daven, they had little mechitzalach that they used, I guess, to protect the privacy of patients. So I put one in the place, and there was a woman, I found it afterwards, a Catholic woman, and she saw me fiddling over, so she said, can I help you? I said, yeah, I'd like to pray. And she said, I'd like just a little bit of privacy. So she made sure, in fact, to chase away anyone that wanted to come there. She told me to close it up. You know, she'd close up the mechitzas all the way. She told me, close the mechitzas all the way up and stay there. And anyone else, she chased them away. She says, I also pray. I respect prayer. Then she went afterwards and she took me all through the labyrinth of the hospital to show me, in fact, where there's a Vika Cholim room up on the fourth floor someplace where I could have gone, you know, and I would have had to be able to dive. There was nobody around at all. But if we look, we can find places to daven. And sometimes we won't, and it's also all right. You know, daven once, I was in Heathrow Airport. It was a lengthy trip from South Africa to New York, and it was delayed by about 9 hours. It was a very, very long trip. And I was davening Mincha in Heathrow Airport. And a Bobby came over to me. And he saw me, you know, looking at the wall swaying. And he asked me, are you all right? But I was in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei and I didn't answer him. And I guess he concluded that I wasn't, that he promptly left, you know. But, you know, we can find where to daven. It's not especially if we're in the same circumstances regularly. We can figure out, you know, a quiet place where to be. So that's the basic approach that I have. After that, we have time to add. Matoiv manon. You know, if we have time to add, we could do Baruch Sha'omar, Ashrei, Yishtabach. Take another 5 minutes. If I have a little bit more time than that, I can do the Parshas of the Karbonos, and that takes about a minute. You could do that. You could do that even after you daven Shmoneh Esrei. If you didn't have a chance before, you have 1 minute. This doesn't take more than a minute. It's about 13 psukkim altogether, 12 or 13 psukkim. Of both of the parshas of the Karbonos. Because those were the Karbonos which were obligatory each day. The parshas HaTomid and the parshas the Tomid and the Ketores had to be brought each morning in the Beis HaMikdash. So since part of our Tvila is in place of the Karbonos, so we should in fact mention the Karbonos. That is a phenomenal idea. You know, in Tvilas Musaf, we mention always the psukkim of the Korban Musaf, which was brought on that day, over Yom HaShabbos and Shabbos, and the Virid Chagim, we have Yom Tovim, we have the Psukim of what the Korban was. So why is it, if Shacharis was to take the place, to stand instead for the Korban Tomid Shel Shachar, and Mincha with the Korban Tomid Shel Ben Arbayim, there's no mention of those Korbanos in the davening. What happened? So no lesser figure than the Noda Yehuda, Zeichet Tzadik Levroch, addressed this in the Shailas and Tshuvas, and he tells us a phenomenal idea. The Gemara says in Brochus that Halavai we should daven 1,000 times a day, meaning that we should, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is always accessible to us. It could be through a formal tefillah, could be through an informal tefillah, but the Rabbeinu Shel Olam should always be accessible to us, and he's available at any moment. And the Gemara says even a person could daven 1,000 times in a day. So the Noda Yehuda said that if we mention the korban, a korban could only be brought once. We would be limited in tefillah. Tefillah is to be open-ended. We always have the ability to connect with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And therefore the Shmoneh Esrei was structured in this fashion that it does not lock in on the korbanos. We do the korbanos independently. So this is the basic format, and as I mentioned last time, the halftime Aleinu was a phenomenal tefillah. Aleinu was a summation, really, of Shema, of the whole tefillah. And if you stop to think about the two parts of Aleinu, what it says in Aleinu is exactly what it says in the pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. But in Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, we said it in 6 words. And in Aleinu, we said it in 2 pages. One's the terse version, and one's the verbose version. But they both say the same thing. What does Rashi say is the meaning of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? Presently in the world today, there are all manner of beliefs. You know, just go in Queens. Every culture and belief in the world is represented in our borough, just about. This is one of the most diverse places in the planet. I spoke once to the sergeant here about a problem with an officer that did not know how to react to an Israeli who didn't speak English, and he didn't know understand what it means that Shabbos was coming and he couldn't be in his car. But it was a whole kocharai. And I had to go down to the station house and to get the guy out of jail, which Baruch Hashem Davis did go home, and I got him out Friday night. So the sergeant says to me, he says, listen, You're right, Rabbi. But you have to realize the problem, he said. I have from all the way up there by 190th Street all the way down to the Van Life Expressway. He says, every two blocks I have a new culture. So, you know, it's hard for me to take my patrolman and make him sensitive to every single culture that we have here. You know, you're right, they do have to be, but it's just very hard to train them in that fashion. So today we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. We relate to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Many in the world don't relate to the Rabbeinu Shalom. But what do we say? Hashem Echad, Rashi says. This is so clearly true and inexorably what will take place in the world that ultimately it will be Hashem Echad. The whole world will acknowledge the Rabbeinu Shalom. So what do we say? What's the first half of Aleinu? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Aleinu L'Shabeach, L'Doseis, G'dula L'Shalom, Son of Gayarotzes, V'nachtu Kairim, all about us. What's the second here? Al ken the kavah l'cho Hashem l'chinu l'irois mehira b'sifer z'zech l'havi g'lilum ha'or menores v'lilum karoisi karoisum l'saki l'olum ha'malchu shaddai. The whole world will recognize the Rabbeinu Hashem Echad. Aleinu is a summation in long form, the first half of Shema Yisrael Hashem l'chinu, and the second half Hashem Echad. So that's what we end the davening with. When we end the davening each day, each time we end the davening, we say it's a summation. What did I express in this tefillah? I came before the Rabbeinu Shalom to be mispala. Why? Because Hashem Echad, He's the unified and only source from which everything in the world flows. I declare that in Shema. I daven to Him for that reason. And when I finish the davening, I say, Aleinu L'Shabayach. That's what I just talked about. It's a summation of the entire theme of the tefillah is an Aleinu. It's a phenomenal tefillah. Phenomenal tefillah. And that's why it's in Malchus in Shmon Esra. Because it expresses exactly the theme of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. In long form. So it's nice if we have the chance to recite only. Mandatory? No. Nice. Yeah, it's a beautiful tefillah. Now, while davening, one realizes they have been thinking of other things, and now a few paragraphs ahead of when they were concentrating on the davening. Should one return to where they lost concentration? The answer is, listen, we can't afford to go back, you know. You know, it's sort of like, you know, I stopped tifting into the intersection once, you know, on Austin Street. And I figured maybe it would be a wise idea to back up a little bit to get out of the intersection. The cop came by. Did he give me a chalik? You don't dare back up, you know. You don't know what's going to be behind you. Just stay there, you know. That's it. There's no going backwards. We go forwards.
Even if, like, you don't remember, like...
Listen, you know, what could we do? As I said, what we need to do when we're sure we didn't say it, we go back. If we're not sure, we said it, you know. You think, what do you think? That General Motors invented cruise control in 1990? You know? We invented it 2,000 years ago, cruise control. Our question is the following. There are two places that we particularly add personal bakoshas, personal requests. Now, the basic story is the following. In each brocha, we can make requests which are germane to the theme of that brocha. In other words, let's say, Lo Aleinu, I know someone that's close to me that's ill. So in the brocha b'refoeinu, we make an addition. You know, I have something, a very difficult project, whatever it is, whether in a business matter, a religious matter, to resolve. And I need tremendous creativity and insight. So atachayin and lodim das. So I asked the Rabbeinu Shalom, listen, what I have to do today, please give me the siyata d'shmaya that I should succeed. And each brocha, I know it should be very short. Shema Koleinu, we could be a little bit lengthier, and in Shema Koleinu, we could put anything in. But in general, the Chofetz Chaim is in favor. I think I know the reason. I'm not 100% sure, because he doesn't spell out the reason, but I'll tell you what I personally believe the reason is, that anything other than very short requests should take place in a Lokayin Tzar. And I believe the reason for that is the following. That it's very easy to get distracted when we go off for requests that don't follow the text of the tefillah. And therefore, if we get too much involved, other than minimally, as we go along, we could throw us off and we could lose focus on the davening. So we're better off that we get to all the way, Hamavorach, Asamo Yisrael, Bashalom, with only very minor digressions. And then Ve'alokayin Etzar, to pour out what personally, to my heart, what personally touches me. And if I get a little bit off in the wrong place, but at least, you know, I finished one essay already. That's what I think the reason for it is. And practically it works the best that way. Any part, wherever it lights up for you. You know, as I mentioned, for many years now, I have a very close friend who's a grandson of Rabbi Yoshev. We became friendly. My niece married his nephew. And since then, it's about 11 years or so, and since then we became good friends. So he says, to stand behind his grandfather, Rabbi Yoshev, and to hear how we just recited the words, Psach libi b'sarasecha, begging the Rabbeinu Shalom that he should be able to understand this Torah, he says, was just unbelievably uplifting, just to hear him recite those three words. It's very interesting, I don't know. The Rav said that a woman shouldn't catch up in davening during the Rav's drosha. I did say that, I admit, full disclosure. Now the second part is very interesting. Was this said in jest? And the answer is no, it was not said in jest. The Indian is there, it's really, as I said, that it's not, I don't like to talk about things which could be construed as I want to toot my own horn. You know, I'm very far from such a type. I did not learn by Rabbeim that acted in such fashion. But there are times that it's necessary to articulate the halacha. And that's for two reasons. Number one, hopefully, you know, the Rav has something to say that's worth listening to and we could all learn from, you know. That's number one. And that's really not even number one, that's really number two. And the second thing is that the Zinyan of Kobratar. I still remember so vividly when I moved to Canarsie. I was 15 years old about at the time. I remember once, I guess they didn't have a Rav yet in the shul. I think it was maybe Shabbos HaGodol. And they invited some Rav, I have no idea who he was, I don't remember, to give a Shabbos HaGodol Rosh to speak. You know, I came to shul, and you know, it was not, it probably was not at a very high level, not, it was consistent, I'm sure, for the tzibur that was there. I was a guy in yeshiva, so I sat myself in some corner someplace and busied myself, you know, doing whatever I needed to do, was trying to be as unobtrusive as possible. But did my father give me a chalik afterwards? Whoosh! Not to ever dare do such a thing again. Yeah. A Rav came. He deserves your attention. And that's in your Kabbalah Torah. And that we have to be even more attentive to than what we're going to learn ourselves. So that's the reason. I was very, very serious when I said it. It's important to report. We don't, a lot of times, in what our Shiva Zatzal used to call it, the heavy traffic of life, we don't stop enough to consider the implications of what we do. We're too busy doing. Just to stand back for a minute and realize what we're doing. So it was an important point, and it was not in the least said in jest. The Rabbi discussed eating before tefillah. Is there any food that is permissible to eat, only juice or coffee? So again, I mentioned, I did not articulate a obligation not to eat before davening. You know, if women are busy and they're not able to live in such fashion, so they should at least recite the Birchas HaTorah, which has the basic elements of tefillah, then eat, and they'll get to davening afterwards. But a person that has the ability not to eat until after davening, they should not eat until after davening. But then they want to know if there's anything to food that's permissible to eat, and the answer is no. Drinks are permissible. You know, drinks, you know, water-based drinks. You can have a little bit of juice, some water, or tea, or coffee. Yeah.
If someone only has, let's say, 5 seconds to them, so they want to do Shemash for Nitzri, do they have to like, wash their hands before? And, like, it's,
don't make a big fuss of it. You know, it's very interesting. That's the problem is that we get way past what the bottom line of halacha is. I'm friendly with Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, and I tend to visit him almost every year in Cholom. We know each other, so I came to visit him, and it was right before Mincha and Kailo. So we both went to the sink to wash. So he was just ahead of me. So he turns to me, takes a small amount of water in a cup, and he washes his hands. And he turns to me and says, "My shver, Rav Yoshev," said, "you don't need to have a revius. There's no shear to wash for davening. A little bit of water is also fine. You know, I have to wash 3 times. It's nice to have a cup. Some say it's preferable, certainly. But chiyuv, it's not. You know, we need to... You know, we're supposed to wash before davening. There's a mitzvah of hichon likras Hashem Elokecha Yisrael, to be meichin for tefillah, to be mekadosh ourselves for davening. But we need to do it minimally so it doesn't get in the way of davening. Not a whole process. Yeah? It depends. If the baby really needs your help, then you should stop. You have to stop. You're an onus. Their child is a chayla. If they can wait 2 minutes and nothing's going to happen to them, so wait the 2 minutes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you allowed to daven while you're
driving? Daven, not really. I mean, I don't think at all you should do that. It's not, you know.
Even
what?
Even brachos?
Do brachos by the red lights. Serious. I'm not joking with you, you know. There had to be some good that comes from them. Yeah.
When you want
1 second. Walking, you cannot. When you're walking, you should not be saying the first pasuk of Shema Baruch Shem, and you shouldn't be saying Shemon Esther. The brachas you could say when you're walking.
Yeah. Benching.
Benching, you can walk. Assuming you're supposed to bench where you ate. If you, you know, what? What? Not while you're dry. Again, bench by the red lights. Bench by the red lights. What? So the Harvey, you know, you shouldn't be benching. You have to realize a very interesting thing. You know, we talk about, there's a whole subject in the halacha. It's discussed really in the second parak, Daf Yudalad, in Masechta Brochas. And that is under what circumstances I'm allowed to interrupt during Shema, during Birchas Kriya Shema, Shemon Esrei, I may never interrupt. Hallel has the same halacha as Kriya Shema. So minimal interruptions are theoretically permissible. Birchas Hamazon has the same status as Shemona Esrei. No interruptions whatsoever are allowed. So halacha that we do not take into account.
What about an older child saying to that child, you know, calling mommy, mommy, while you're in the open house, can you wait with them? Should
you? Well, the halacha says the following. I'll tell you what to do. Normally we're not supposed to allow ourselves to be distracted or do anything during davening. The halacha says the following. Let's say, you know, I'm a finicky person. I look down and I see I have some dirt on my jacket, on my dress. And it bothers me. I don't like to be that way. So if it will disturb me to the point that I can't daven appropriately, the halacha says I should stop, brush it off, and then get myself back together and go forward. The same is true here. But really, I think ideally what you're looking for is to try to find the time, like right after they fall asleep or before they're going to get up. You know, it's not always going to work. You know, they don't stick to a strict schedule. But if you know they're going to take a nap now and they're 5 minutes, 10 minutes into the nap and they're not likely to get up for an hour, that's the time to daven. Yeah. You can do all the. I would not do Shemon Esrei. That the other parts of the davening, if you cover, yes. Yes?
If you come late to shul, they have not yet said Shemona Esrei, is it better to just say very little before so you could say Shemona Esrei?
If you come late to shul, the best thing to do, especially as I said, women, in terms of a strict letter of the law, the obligation, start from Emes V'yatzev until go to Goy Yisrael and go right to Shemona Esrei and worry about everything else afterwards. Yeah, I don't know. You can't really say the brocha baruch shomer and yishtavach after Shmon Esrei, but you can say other things, other brochas of Kriya Shema, the mizmorim of Tillum, all of that could be done. Yeah.
Answering Kaddish and Kedusha
is very simple. There are only two times during Shmon Esrei you can't answer Kaddish and Kedusha at all. If you are happen to be at the end of a brocha, and this is a psak of Rav Henkin, Zecher Tzadik LeBrocha, if you happen to be at the end of a brocha, then you should listen to the Chazan recite the Kedusha. If you're in the middle of a brocha, you said to keep on going and not rush in the least bit. And when you finish the brocha, then you'll take stock of what's going on. No, you're not allowed to answer in the middle of Shmon Esrei until you get up to a Lekayin Tzar. Then you could do the first Yula Rotson. Other than that, and also during the first Pasuk of Kriya Shema and Baruch Shem. What? If you happen to be you cannot interrupt during the first Pasuk of Shema and Baruch Shem. Now, if you happen to be at Shmon Esrei up to Kedusha, when the Chazan gets up to Kedusha, then you could answer Kedusha. In other words, you're really way out of sync. You know, he's up to Kedusha and you're up to Kedusha. He's the second time around and you're the first time around. But, you know. Yes, Sandy.
What about if you're up to Kedusha for Shacharit and he's doing it for Shacharit?
Doesn't make a difference. No, does not make a difference. What? Other than that, you can always answer, except after you. If you said Baruch Atah Hashem at the end of a brocha, you have to finish the brocha before you answer. Yes, Kaddish and Kedusha are the same. Now, I want to shock you, if I have the opportunity to answer either Kaddish or Kedusha. Okay, I walk into a shul, and the two minyanim going on. One is saying Kaddish, and one is saying Kedusha. And I can only answer to one of them. I can say Yehi Shmei Rab or Kadosh Kadosh. Which one should I do? So, Omen Yehi Shmei Rab takes precedence to Kedusha. That it tells us a little bit that most of the world is off focus. Because one of the things that doesn't happen, Baruch Hashem, is what we don't have this problem here, but the Eibush is Chesed. I thank the Rabbeinu Shalom daily for this. But, you know, most of the world is not so silent in their shuls, unfortunately, as we are here. There are quiet places. We're not the only quiet place in the world. And listen, perfect we're not. No, we're not perfect. We're not perfect. We always listen. We have what to do. But Baruch Hashem, we do set a good example. You do set a very good example. You know, as I tell you all the time, I've mentioned many times, there was a Yid, he was an uncle of Norman Lamb, Rabbi Norman Lamb. His name was Rabbi Baumel, Zechon of Baruch. He was a Talmud of Chachmei Lublin Yeshiva. And he was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva of Crown Heights. So he had a relative in this neighborhood, and we were back in Shevach. He used to come to visit from time to time, and he came to Daven in Shevach. So he came over to me one day, one Shabbos. He comes, he's Daven Shabbos in the morning, Shabbos Minchatam, he comes over and says, Rabbi, I don't understand this. He didn't stop to Daven, and he didn't remonstrate, he didn't say a word. And it was so awesomely quiet. I've been throughout the world, and I haven't been in such a shul yet. What I didn't tell him is one of the members came to me that morning after Shachar and said, Rabbi, the shul was noisy this morning. And they were both true, by the way. So people don't talk during Kedusha, but they'll talk during Kaddish. And that really just shows that they don't appreciate what Kaddish is. Yes?
Going back to Shema Kaleinu,
If they're meaningful to you, you can say them.
So it's like a small Yom Kippur every day.
The perspective of the Bali Musar on these things, when you have passion about them, say them. If you're not going to be passionate, wait till next week. You should basically be dressed in a fashion that would go to the street with the Daven Shmon Esrei. That's the gauge. Okay, that's what's preferable. If you can't manage it, don't send davening down the tubes for that reason. Yes?
What's the earliest that, like we said, that
Brussels can be said after Klinkot. So what's the earliest that Shema and Shemone Esrei can be said?
The earliest Shema and Shemone Esrei is 72 minutes before the sunrise. For the latest, you came to the wrong part of town. You got to visit some of my friends that live elsewhere. You know, as I mentioned last time, we should really try to daven by Zman Tefillah. And at this time of the year, that somewhere is about 10:30, approximately 10:40. What? A little bit, you know. Rav Shlomo Zalman was not happy, and I mentioned this last time, at about davening for a woman after his Zman Tefillah, even before Chatzos. But he says he can't dismiss it fully. They do have some basis to do such a thing. So I don't dismiss it for that reason. Because, yeah, Yuris.
Last week you mentioned that a woman should say Kiddush before she eats on Shabbos.
If she normally eats before davening during the week, that means as soon as she gets up, she's allowed to eat. If she's allowed to eat, she should recite Kiddush.
Now, I usually say brachos.
Yes.
And then I eat something banana, I don't have to say Kiddush. So if I say Kiddush, I just barbecue agafen.
All you have to say is Baruch Priya Gofen. The rest is extra credit. You like extra credit, you know, that's Rachel, you wanted something?
Yeah, you say 72. So now, what's the earliest, if you get up at, let's say, 5:30, quarter after 5, what's the earliest you can say Birkos HaShachar?
Birkos HaShachar, you can say after Chatzos Laila. Chatzos these days, it means if you get up approximately 12:10 at night, you could say any time after that, you could recite the brachas. Everything. No, it's assuming you went to sleep. You could do it all. You could do it all. There are advantages to waiting without until less. No, what you cannot do before daybreak are two brachas. A kind of shoma and a mavrashena. And there is an advantage with waiting to only to listen until you get closer to davening. Okay. Yes?
The Rav mentioned Shema. What about Berachas Kriya Shema?
Berachas Kriya Shema, we said, other than Emes V'Yatziv is extra credit. If you have time for extra credit, you know, who's against extra credit?
So what I learned that you can't say Shema without Berachas Kriya Shema.
That's certainly not true. There is Ashi, this Rishonim like that, the Vilna Gaon held like that. But that's not what we do. But we don't pass the halacha that way. Yeah. So just move, you just march off to somewhere else where you can't smell it anymore. That's all. Simple. Now there is another thing you can do. There are two possibilities, and this is important to know. It's a very, very important halacha that Rabbi Yoshua Zatzal articulated. And, you know, lo aleinu, sometimes on the other end of the spectrum, you know, we have to deal with people that suffer from incontinence. So, how to recite a brocha? So, Rabbi Yoshev said that if you use an aerosol spray, and because of that you cannot smell anything foul, that you're allowed to make a brocha in that place. So, that's very, very important to know, because that's a way, in fact.
What's the bad smell is you just breathe the spray?
Yes.
Are you allowed to do that?
Yeah. Okay. One of the two. Either march to somewhere else or do that. One of those two. No, I don't know if you should be, you know, that you shouldn't be busy doing other things. You know. Yeah.
If Shkia is now 4:48,
yes,
you actually daven the full davening at that hour, even if, let's say, you play for us, you'd be upset.
Planning to go?
Let's say, and you really daven, let's say, at 4:48, can you say the whole davening?
Which holds? Mincha?
No, Shkia is what?
Let's say 4:40 something.
So can you daven the whole Shabbos at that point?
No, I don't
know.
Alright, Alos HaShachar, yes. If you need to daven, you can daven everything from Alos HaShachar, yes.
Let's say you're going to go sleep after that.
That's for sure you have to. You should daven then.
You can daven your Shabbos.
Yes. Yeah. You have to what? Continue, start again from the beginning of the bracha where you were. Listen, you're an onus maybe, but the evad I would say that you don't have to, but try not to talk. Yes, Andy.
All of these ways we're discussing with little children,
But listen, life, as I said, I mentioned as many possibilities. What are you doing? So now that you don't have little children, what are you doing? Are you working full time?
So, if you have the time.
If you have the time, then you should, you know, yeah, you should say at least Baruch Shomar, Ashra, Yishtabach, Shema, Emes V'yatzim, Shmon Esra, yeah.
Birchas Kriya Shema. Like
yes, that. Yes, it's not, we do, there is more flexibility. Yes. What? Shabbos, again, the same format. The only thing that changes Shabbos is if you're going to recite Yishtabach, you have to start from Nishmas. That's the only thing that changes Shabbos. You should recite Brichas HaShachar, yeah, but you could recite it when you want. Yeah.
Can you do a flexibility by saying Shmon Esrei Shabbos versus Mincha, or it should be Shmon Esrei?
No, you should have, a woman should endeavor to daven the Shmon Esrei of Shachris and the Shmon Esrei of Mincha.
Wait,
so
Mincha,
does she have to do the Ashrei and Alinu? It's nice to do it, but we're talking today about what we have to do. Nice? There's a lot of things nice.
No, I'm talking about for Mincha.
Let's same thing. Yeah.
Should a woman be getting up extra early in the morning, like an extra 15 minutes, half an hour?
Listen, I can't answer that question. You know, it's impossible to answer. You know, I would always like to get up earlier than I do in the morning. The only problem is, there was a Yid I knew. It's interesting, he was a Litvak. But he told me something which stems really from, I found later, that Rabbi Melech of Lizinsk made the same observation. He said, told me the following. He says, the Shulchan Aruch says the first thing you should do in the morning is this Gabar Kari. You should get up with vigor early in the morning. You know, Rabbi Elia Lapian used to get up very early in the morning, before the crack of dawn. He said, why? He said, when I come upstairs after 120 years, they're going to take out the Shulchan Aruch and start reading line by line and say, did you fulfill this? Did you fulfill this? He says, I don't want to get caught on the first line. He says, at least that much I want to get caught. So the only problem is, so this Yid told me, this Alter Litvak, he says, yeah, we want to get up like a lion in the morning. He says, before that, we have to go to sleep like a lion too, you know? So what can I tell you? On one hand, we want to be postmodern creatures, you know, and be up till 3 in the morning, and then we want to be like a farmer and get up at the crack of dawn. You know, for most of us, it doesn't work. You know, my father-in-law had a neighbor. His name was Rav Mordechai Friedman. Zatzali was a sheikhet for the Satmar Rebbe. Eugene Gluck told me that he remembered him yet in Satmar as a sheikhet for the Rebbe. Eugene is from Satmar. He was Ashkenazi Jew that lived in Satmar. And this Rav Mordechai Friedman, he lived till about, nobody knows the answer, somewhere between 101 and 104. Nobody knew the answer. No, I guess no one was around anyone that was at his bris, but it was somewhere between 101 and 104. And he was a vigorous man. I mean, he had his marbles all the way till the end, but he wasn't physically well. Somewhere into the mid-90s, he used to march himself off 3 blocks to shul twice a day. Later on, he didn't have kayak, so a man used to take him down in a wheelchair. He still went 3 times a day to shul. You could hear him when it was dark. You never heard a sound from his apartment. As soon as it turned light, he was up. That's what he was used to in Hungary, you know, let's say in circa 1880 about something, 1890 when he was born. That's the way life was, and that's the way he was his whole life. But we're postmodern creatures, you know. We want to stay up like the nightlife in New York and get up like the farmers in Kansas. You know, it doesn't work. Okay, Rabbi Isai, in about a minute, we're going to have to exit because we don't want... And Be'ez Hashem, I did not forget, by the way, about the sign for the ladies section. I'm in the process of having it formulated. It's text. And Be'ez Hashem, soon, with the Mirat Hashem, it will be up. I did not forget. Yeah, Julie. The answer is like this. The answer is like this. When we go from place to place, the only two times that we don't have to make a new bracha is if we ate already a kezias of bread or a kezias of cake. Then we don't have to. Now, what is considered a new place? So I have a cousin who is a big Moir HaRoh. He's a Moir HaRoh, Boki and all of Shas in Eretz Yisrael. And he's a Talmud of the Stipler. Once he asked the Shaitla to the Stipler, the Stipler told him the following. He said, as long as you stay within the same ownership of the property, it doesn't make a difference where you marched around. So in other words, let's say they lease the whole building and they own the whole building. So then any place you march around. If you live in an apartment house and you go out into the hall, that's no longer your property. You have to make a new bracha. Okay, that's the deal. Rabbi Yisai, we have to hold it at this point. It's been a pleasure. Yeah. All right. They're on the blog. You can get them on the blog. They're on the blog, yeah. Ask them from.
You can daven straight.
Is it really played in this stuff? It's a machloikis. If you can daven it, you should. Yeah, the only problem is, I'm not saying it's approximately correct, but this is for a man. It's not for a man. This is true for a man. This is the halachas for a man. It's nothing to do with women. The last question. Was you say if nothing happens, you gotta try hard to make it.